Welcome back to Through the Word, Genesis 37 today, beginning at verse 2. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks of his brothers. Chapter 37 begins with a young man named Joseph. What follows is one of the greatest epics in all antiquity. It is the story of an extraordinary life, a life that would affect the entire world. The story ahead will span about 20 years. For Joseph, those years will carry him from 17 to 37. Isn't it amazing how much can happen between 17 and 37? Now, as you read, there's a lot to be learned, life lessons, essential Bible themes. But before any of that, I want you to enter the story. If you know how it ends, try to forget that and experience it as Joseph did. Remember 17 for a moment and imagine life with 10 older brothers. Back in verse 2, Joseph is tending sheep, the flocks of his older brothers, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Uh-oh, Joseph is a tattle, a snitch. What is it about kids that makes them love to tell on their siblings and loathe when it's done to them? It's destructive on both sides. Verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age. Well, there's a problem. 12 sons and Jacob has a favorite. That's dangerous. Joseph is younger and dad's favorite. So Jacob made an ornate robe for him. Now, the word behind ornate is a little tricky to translate. It could mean colorful, or it could mean with big sleeves. Either way, the idea here is authority. Jacob put the young one in charge. The kid wearing big sleeves doesn't do dirty work. He tells others what to do. Verse 4. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Do you remember how important approval was at 17? How much you just wanted to be liked? Joseph's big brothers are his whole world, but they won't speak one kind word. And dad's favoritism doesn't help. Neither does verse 5. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Oh boy, maybe better to keep the dreams on the down low, Joseph. But he doesn't. He tells everyone. And in the second dream, the sun, moon, and stars bow down to him. Even dad is mad about that one. "Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" And here we arrive at the crossroads of God's big plan for Joseph's life and the real world that wants nothing to do with it. You may have been there. As we shall see, these dreams were from the Lord. But how do you wait on God's plan when your whole world is pushing in the other direction? Joseph's brothers are envious, and envy is a killer. Every skill and success in the life of your brother is joy in the heart of the humble and poison in the veins of the envious. For Joseph's brothers, that poison is growing deeper. They head to Shechem to graze the sheep, and dad sends Joseph. Verse 14. "Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me." Bad idea. But Joseph hits the road, big sleeves and all. He gets directions and heads to Dothan. But they see him coming. Verse 19. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns, and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." Things just got serious. Those dreams have the brothers tweaked. Because in those dreams, they get humbled. Little do they know that that humbling is God's plan for them, to save their lives. Don't be surprised when God's big plan is to humble you. That humbling may save your life. You say, "What about Joseph? How come everyone bows to him?" Well, before Joseph is exalted the highest, he will be humbled the lowest, by far. Take heed. If you think God has big plans for you, expect the humbling to come first. Back in our story, Reuben, the eldest, hears the plans and tries to rescue Joseph. 22. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern, here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him. Reuben secretly plans to rescue Joseph later. Joseph arrives. His brothers strip him of his robe and throw him into the cistern. The cistern is empty, no water, which means he won't drown, but also means he could die of thirst. Verse 25, as they sat down to eat their meal. Wait, hold on, what? As they sat down to eat? How callous is the heart that can just sit to eat? But they do. And as they do, opportunity presents itself, a caravan of Ishmaelite traders. Verse 26, Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood. His brothers agreed. Now pay attention to whose idea this is, Judah. His story will weave in and out with, and in stark contrast to, Joseph's. Here, Judah does, well, can we say this is the right thing? He saves Joseph from death by selling him into slavery. After all, he says, he is our brother. Shouldn't kill your brother, but if you sell him, you get paid. So it evens out. Judah is the ethical pragmatist. Right and wrong sort of bend to necessity. And his brothers agreed. They sell their brother for 20 shekels of silver. That's two apiece. I don't imagine that any of them enjoyed spending it much. Probably burned a hole in their pockets and conscience. Blood money. Somehow Reuben missed all of that. He shows up too late. The brothers realize they need a story for Dad. So in verse 31, then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornate robe back to their father and said, we found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe. And the lie works. Jacob mourns and refuses to be comforted. I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave. And in 36, meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. Joseph is 17 years old. Do you remember 17? I do. I got my first car, had my first girlfriend. Well, only girlfriend, because I married her. Joseph would look back and remember the year he was sold like property, a slave. He would remember his father's last goodbye, and he would remember exactly how much money his brothers bargained for to sell him. Now, as you connect with the humanness and heartbreak of Joseph's story, let it also connect you with the humanness of another story, of Jesus. Jesus was loved by the Father and sent by the Father to the Israelites, his brethren. Some followed, but many hated. In the end, Jesus was betrayed and sold for silver coins. A robe was put on him, and he was mocked. His body was placed in a tomb rather than a cistern, and he too came out. It's not the same story, of course, but the little hints and connections are no accident. And the most important connection, the big question, is God greater? Can God take all this evil intent and use it for good? And can he do that in your life? For us, we'll have to read on. Read Genesis 37 today, and when you're done, we have more insights on the B-side audio guide, some challenging thoughts on God's sovereignty when all goes wrong, and on Jacob and the dangers of favoritism. A few extras that we edited out for time. And we'll see you back here in chapter 38.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.